You are now listening to the Photography Enthusiast Podcast. And welcome to another episode of the Photography Enthusiast Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Daniel Lee, or Photos by DLEE. So today we're going to be talking about the top four features that Flickr should add, general news updates, and what I've been up to. So to begin it, as always, what I've been up to and some personal updates. So we're pretty much in the last week of winter, which is a sad time for me because I love winter. Winter is my favorite season. Winter is also my cityscape season because I generally like to go out during winter since sunset is so much earlier. It's like 5:30, you know, that kind of thing. So I can easily just have that, get dinner, then be home by like 6:30. Yes, I'm in my early 30s, but I do act probably, I think even senior citizens probably go out later than me, but I like to be at home, you know, I like to be home early as well so I can sleep early and get up early sort of thing. But regardless, yeah, so with the end of that, we're still in lockdown as well, which I can only travel 5 kilometers from my house. And there's one more cityscape location I really want to try, but I won't be able to do that because I think, you know, because it's outside that 5 kilometer zone, we can get fined like, it's like $1,100 or something like that if we travel outside there, which is not worth the risk just for the photo. I can wait till summertime comes around and, you know, just drive there. Hopefully, you know, if it gets extended to 10 kilometers, then I'll be fine. Then I can easily go there. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Can't shoot cityscapes for now. So it's pretty much still life only, that kind of stuff, ideas I come up with, that sort of thing. Haven't been shooting much. Been very busy with my week. Not in a, I guess, not in a very important way. Work as usual, was sick one day, food poisoning. I get food poisoning a lot. I get a very weak stomach. I don't know about others, but if I eat even the tiniest bit of food that's been like reheated or something that's not completely fresh, I get sick very easy. Maybe my stomach just has very fine taste, but that's it, you know. I've also been busy picking out a new chair. So, you know, like any photographer knows, you spend a lot of time in front of your desk, especially for me because I play games, I work from home. My chair is really old. We got it when I first moved in here. It was just like an IKEA office chair, like under $100, just your standard one you would usually get. But that, yeah, it's just breaking. It's probably going to break anytime soon. Like it's cracked on both sides. If I put the tiniest bit of weight backwards on it, it'll probably just break. So I have to be very careful till the new one arrives. I spent the last 5-6 days just looking through chairs nonstop. I ended up finding one. For anyone that's interested, I picked the AeroCool, which make the Thunder X BC3, which sort of like a race style gamer chair kind of thing. But, you know, a lot of people say they're not the best chairs to get, you know, if you're at your desk all day, like a gamer chair. But for me, the one I was using wasn't great to begin with. So in that sense, I think anything would be an upgrade over this. You know, sitting up completely straight at my desk with good posture was always a challenge because you couldn't lock my current chair in place. So it would always lean back. Whereas this one, I'll at least be able to do that. So I'll be able to have a lot better posture, which should help. I went acupuncture just, you know, yesterday and my shoulder is purple with bruises right now because of how bad of, you know, my neck was in the situation. Feel excellent now. That and also because my exercise, I think I do it too much sometimes and just too much on my body. Need to give it a bit more of a rest, but otherwise that should be all good from now. The only new photo I did take at the time of recording was a picture of my cross. So I got, well, not my cross so much, my chain, my whole thing. I got a 14 karat solid gold rope chain from the US from Etsy. So, you know, I'd always worn, we were used to anyway, always wear a pendant and always wear a chain, but I stopped for a while just because, you know, back pain, neck pain. Not that I wore anything that heavy, but I just didn't want any added weight. But, you know, it just got to me. I want to be able to wear it again. So I figured time to get a nice new chain. I took that, I bought that, wasn't quite sure what to do in terms of the photo. I didn't want to just do what I would usually do, which is like a low-key shot on plain black kind of thing to highlight the gold. So I, you know, you'll see it when I eventually upload. It's more me holding it, but really happy with the shot. It's just what I sort of had in mind. So I might take more photos of it later on, but for now I'll leave it as that. I was going to do one of me wearing it, but at the same time, that's similar to what I did of my tie. You know, I'm the type where I hate doing the same thing over and over again. I like to do something different, which is where I think I'm struggling because I really need to get in the habit of doing stuff the same. Even if I take a photo of the exact same item over and over again, I should really be doing it, just practicing different lighting because it's all about lighting, as I mentioned last fortnight's episode. So I really need to get in that habit of getting out of that where I have to do everything different and make it too much about the subject, the background, that kind of stuff, and make it more about the light. I'll obviously be uploading that photo, the photos by DLEE soon, but you know, that'll probably be out the following week, or maybe this week, who knows, same day as the podcast, maybe I'll upload it then, but we'll see how it goes. Depends on if I have time to write that, because I do want to write some articles and more Pokemon gaming related ones for Mr. Meowpus, so we'll see how we go. Otherwise, I've got a few more simple ideas for photos. We'll see how they go, if they turn out or not. All of them will be with my 85, which I really need to, you know, hurry up and finish off those reviews. But yeah, on the stack of pile of things I need to do. Now we'll go on to the news. So the first news article is a very interesting and potentially exciting one, depending on your sort of stance and views on this. But the US government wants Facebook to sell Instagram. So the US Federal Trade Commission, or FTC, has renewed its antitrust legal case against Facebook. So back in December of 2020, the FTC originally filed a case, but it was thrown out as prosecutors failed to prove that Facebook was an illegal monopoly in the social networking industry. Thankfully, that original case was dismissed without prejudice, which means they were allowed to, you know, if they get more evidence, they'll be allowed to file a new suit against Facebook. And pretty much is what the FTC has done. They haven't given up on this. Some quotes from the article state, "It unlawfully acquired innovative competitors with popular mobile features that succeeded where Facebook's own offerings fell flat or fell apart. And to further moat its monopoly, Facebook lured app developers to its platform, surveilled them for signs of success, and then buried them when they became competitive threats. Lacking serious competition, Facebook has been honed to a surveillance-based advertising model and imposed ever-increasing burdens on its users. Facebook lacked the business acumen and technical talent to survive the transition to mobile," says FTC Bureau of Competition Acting Director Holly Vadova. "After failing to compete with new innovators, Facebook illegally bought or buried them within their popularity became an existent threat. It's pretty much what they're saying is Facebook would never have survived if it hadn't bought Instagram and, you know, it even bought WhatsApp and all that. It knew that they were becoming less popular, so rather than try and actually innovate or, you know, do something about it, they just try and bury their competition, buy them, and make sure they don't succeed. For me personally, I would love to see Facebook have to be forced to sell Instagram, WhatsApp, everything that they're alleging that they want them to sell. Apparently, the FTC is now asking the court to force Facebook to sell Instagram, WhatsApp, and possibly any other businesses acquired. And it's also asking the court to restrict Facebook from making similar acquisitions in the future. It may seem unlikely, but I honestly think if that did happen, it would be the end of Facebook, which I would not mind seeing. I would happily see Facebook be gone. If, you know, or whether Instagram would flourish without Facebook's ownership, that is very hard to tell, to be honest, because it depends who gets it. Like Yahoo, for example, they're big, but when they took over Tumblr and Flickr, they pretty much, you know, ran them into the ground and ruined them. So Tumblr, for example, went from being worth like a few billion to only sold for like $3 million. Someone won Lotto here, they could have bought Tumblr. That's how badly it fell. But, you know, who knows over time what will happen if this does go through. I do, you know, want to see Facebook be forced to sell just to get put in its place. And, you know, there's their whole model of everything of stealing your information is just a load of, yeah, I won't say the word, you know, keep it PG, but yeah. I guess we'll just sort of have to keep an eye on this, see what this happens. Facebook, you know, is trying to fight back against this, obviously. It says all allegations and stuff are merciless, but who knows what will happen. Hopefully we'll get to see a resolution in the not too distant future, but either way, go FTC, come on, get them. Next up, Godox new V860 Mark III speed light has a modeling light and new features. So this speed light has just been announced. It's going to be costing $229 and has a power of 70 watt seconds. New features include improved battery life and performance, a hot shoe quick release, a quick switch, which pretty much just is a quick switch to switch between TTL and manual, and also a modeling light. So apparently in terms of the modeling light, the lamp is 2 watts and has been added to help photographers preview the light effect. So, you know, it saves them time and they know exactly what they're getting. It has 10 levels of adjustment of brightness and a color temp of 530 Kelvin. Apparently, with in terms of the battery life, the new and improved battery has a 1.5 second recycle time, up to 480 full power flashes per charge. All features from the previous model were present, and it's pretty much the main improvement is those batteries and the modeling light, but it'll be made available for pretty much everything. Canon, Nikon, Sony, Fuji, Olympus, Panasonic, and even Pentax. I don't own any speed lights. If I did buy a speed light, it would probably be a Godox. I wouldn't mind getting Godox or Yongnuo. I definitely wouldn't buy a first party one. first party ones, they may last longer, who knows, but honestly, the quality, you know, as long as you don't abuse your stuff, like drop it all the time and that, I honestly think these Chinese brands, Godox, Yongnuo, they'll last you plenty long, and they got pretty much majority of the same function as your Canon ones anyway, or your Nikon ones, so it's not worth it. I do say go for something like an 8100 or an 8200 over these, but obviously if you need on-camera flash, that's where these come in, and they're very, you know, worth the money. They're usually cheap, give great performance. It's a no-brainer in that sense. So previously Tamron had announced their 18 to 300mm, but now it's sort of officially released. So this lens will have an aperture, variable aperture of f3.5 to f6.3. Currently it's only for Sony APS-C, but it will be coming out for Fuji. They have not given a date of when the Fuji lens will release, but you know, sometime in the future, apparently it's still under development. It'll be launching in September, which is very close, for $699. It has 19 elements in 15 groups, 3 hybrid aspherical elements, and 4 low dispersion elements to help suppress optical aberrations. It has a 67mm filter thread. You know, Fuji Tamron have been trying to keep that same filter thread, so in their whole lens series, so no matter which lens, you can pretty much just have the one filter for all of them. Obviously, you should be going for square filters because they're the most convenient and best. They're less vignetting, but if you do have circular ones, you know, and you want these Tamron series lenses, it would make it a lot easier for you having them all 67mm. One news article I didn't cover, which I don't think I covered, was that the 28-75mm Mark II has actually been released, which I feel like it didn't get much coverage as well. It's such a popular lens. Like, if you were shooting Sony, that was pretty much one of the main lenses I feel like almost every single person was buying. I own one and I actually loved it. I actually sold it mainly because I got it as like a travel lens, and I wasn't really using it much because I don't travel much. So I'm the type where even if it's a great lens and you know, I could get easily use out of it, I'd sell it anyway just because I'm not using it. I like to use everything constantly. Like honestly, even though I, you know, would love my gear now, I've even thought about selling it just because I'm not using it to its full potential. I'm not going to sell it, but you know, cross my mind. But with that Tamron one, I remember when I sold mine, it was the only lens that I've ever sold in 24 hours. And I wasn't even undercutting the price. Like, it was a very fair price, but I had non-stop offers for it the second I posted it. That's how popular it is. So I was expecting when it got announced to see reviews everywhere, but nothing. So maybe once the official release comes, I can't remember if it's just an announcement or an official release, but once the official release comes, maybe we'll see more. It's meant to be mostly the same. It was just a G2 version with updated, better autofocus, better image quality. So hey, maybe, you know, I would have waited a little bit longer, maybe bought it to RF and Z mount as well. That would have been a really nice touch. Here's our Mark II lens in all mounts now. That would have been really good to see, but sadly that didn't happen. But hey, who knows, maybe they'll do that later on. Hopefully anyway. Last but not least is Nikon discontinues the Coolpix B600 and suspends several accessories. So Nikon has announced it is discontinuing the Coolpix B600, which was launched less than a year ago. So if you're not familiar with this camera, which to be honest I wasn't, it's a 16 megapixel point and shoot which featured a 60x optical zoom, and it was only announced in December 23rd, 2020, so not even at that 12 month period. So from what the article says, it's mainly, it seems it's a part supply issue because this chip shortage seems to be still delaying a lot of camera equipment, or a lot of, you know, electronics and stuff in general, and that seems to be the main reason that it was discontinued. Nikon Japan did issue a statement in which they said, "Thank you for your continued patronage of Nikon products. We would like to inform you the production of Coolpix B600, which was announced on December 23rd, 2020, will be discontinued due to uncertain future parts supply. We sincerely apologize for any inconvenience caused to customers who are waiting for our products. Thank you for understanding." Nikon also announced they're suspending production on the AC adapter EH5D, the wireless remote Speedlight SBR200, Nikon close-up Speedlight Commander Kit R1C1, and the wireless Speedlight Commander SU800. As there is such a large delay on delivery, they felt it was better just to suspend production altogether than to give sort of a bad impression to the customers. I personally don't think it's a sign of doom and gloom or anything sort of thing for Nikon that, you know, oh, they're gonna go bust, that's why they're stopping to make these products. You know, if there's limited parts supply, especially for chip shortages, you wouldn't really want to put them in products that may not sell as well. Like, you'd want to save them for stuff like your Z50, your Z7, Z6, the upcoming Z9, that sort of stuff. To be honest, like, point and shoots don't really sell like they used to, especially. most people would just use smartphones instead of a point and shoot and then go to a DSLR. So to me, I see them, the fact that they got rid of them is probably because they don't really sell well and they would rather just use those parts for bodies and that they would, which is honestly a smart strategy. When it comes to those accessories, I don't know anything about, to be honest, even Nikon or Canon accessories, I barely know. So hard to say, but I think it's definitely worth it to just focus on their mirrorless cameras and, you know, try not to lose any more ground that they already have in terms of market share and sales. Well, that is it for the news and on to our main topic. As I've said many times on this show before, not sponsored by them or anything, but I'm a big Flickr lover. I love Flickr. I've been using it since I started photography. But in saying that, you know, has to be said, since Smugmug bought them, they did make changes, but at the same time, not as many changes as I thought. They fixed Explore, that kind of stuff. But since that, I feel like they've gone fairly quiet. There hasn't been any real major drastic changes. I know many people which have speculated, which I do believe, that, you know, there's a lot of work they need to do behind the scenes to fix Flickr and fix the mess that Yahoo created, which, and Verizon in one sense, I think Verizon were the ones that owned it, which does make sense. You know, there's a lot of back end work to do before you can fix the front end. But at the same time, it would be good if they release some kind of roadmap of when we're going to get new features, or, you know, just because there's some very basic features. They say request anything on the help forum, but we still haven't seen them yet. So one, I thought I'd go over the top four features that I think Flickr should add, because, you know, I'm heavily invested in Flickr. I've been with them so long, I don't want to see them disappear, but I feel like they do need some changes. Otherwise, it's just going to be like every other owner that's had it, where they just own it, don't do anything with it, and then sell it off again. So I thought I would start with a very easy one to implement, which would be two-factor authentication. This is like a must. So if you, no matter what you have, whether it's your Instagram, email, any kind of account you have, if there's an option for two-factor authentication, you should have it. If you're actually unaware of what this is, so if you're logging into something, there's a second factor you have to go through to be able to prove you are you. So majority of the time, it's either an SMS. If you log into, say, Instagram, they'll send you an SMS with a code that you have to enter to prove it's you. Obviously, if someone got your password, but they don't have your phone, then obviously this, you know, would help you. Or, you know, another common two-factor authentication is method is Google Authenticator, which I personally don't like, or Microsoft Authenticator, which I do like. Main reason I don't like Google, I had quite a few accounts set up on it and it just crashed. It just lost all my accounts out of nowhere. So I had to call support teams just to be able to get them to unlock those ones. You know, stupid me, I think the backup codes weren't working either, but touch wood with Microsoft one, it's always been perfect. You can back it up as well, back up all your accounts. So I really like the Microsoft one. I've always used that for everything. But in general, if there's an option for 2FA, I always turn it on. And we used to have it on Flickr with Yahoo. That was the one good thing about Yahoo. Because you could log in with your Yahoo account, you could use two-factor authentication on that, which had that extra layer of security. But I really, really want Smugmug to add it. I just don't know when it will or if it will ever happen, because it seems like they've owned it for more than a year now. And just this simple security thing still hasn't been added, which is a bit disappointing, but it is what it is. So the second one, which I have mentioned before, is an editor's choice section. So that's pretty much just stealing it from 500px. They could call it something else, or monthly highlights or something, whatever. But I'd love to see something like editor's choice of 500px. So the way 500px used to work is you'd have your popular, which is based on ratings. And then there was editor's choice, which, you know, that was more a human picked one where they would pick out specific photos and feature them. I want something like that on Flickr. So, you know, no one really knows exactly how Explore works. I think it is more computer-based algorithm, and then someone just checks over it to make sure there's no, you know, porn or that kind of, not so much porn, but, you know, more adult, not safe for work material. They keep it very public and family-friendly kind of thing, which is, you know, a good thing, I guess. But with the editor's choice, you know, I think Flickr could definitely benefit across it. If they had something like editor's choice, it doesn't even have to be a daily thing. It could either be editor's choice and the photos they pick are featured for that week or even for that month. Wouldn't create too much work. It's just you need staff to actually go through, look at photos that are really great, but they didn't make Explore, and have those picked up for editor's choice. And don't make it like just a copy of Explore either. So if they're in Explore, then they can't be in editor's choice and vice versa. You know, keep it like a separate thing, but much more of a human interaction with it. If you want to make it super easy as well, like for users, you know, if you want your photo to be considered for editor's choice, you have to add the tag editor's choice. If it's not in there, it won't be considered. And that way it can be considered for Explore, because Explore will search the engine and find photos that aren't tagged with the editor's choice and then pick that up for Explore. You know, something like that. I don't know how the algorithm and that would work. I don't know anything about programming, but to me, that would make sense. The next one and third one is more detailed stats for pro members. So stats are good, you know, but to be honest, I barely check them because I don't feel they add that much. Just my opinion, I don't feel they do add that much. I'd like to see stats that's not just about views, but actual stuff that could give you more sort of insight into your usage, you know, like for example, for people who upload with their EXIF data visible, or maybe they do upload photos that have EXIF data, but they don't show them publicly. I want to see like what focal lengths I use the most, or what ISOs I use the most, what lenses I use the most, have those stats in there. Based off all my photos, I shoot at 35mm, you know, 70% of the time. I also shoot at ISO 800 most of the time, that sort of stuff. I'd also like to see, you know, I don't know if it's possible whether they have to put some tracking stuff in the code when people embed it or share it, but I'd like to see how many people share my photos or how many people embed my photos into articles and posts. That would be a really interesting way. So I know when I Google search my images sometimes, or reverse search all the images, because I do them all rights reserved now, but when I reverse search all the images, I can see, you know, people have used my photo for an article. And then when I look at how they found it, they linked it back to Flickr, but I had no way of knowing that. So unless they, you know, some people would actually email you and say, hey, I used your photo. Thank you very much for making it Creative Commons, that sort of thing. Whether Flickr do something like that, who knows? You know, maybe they could even buy something like Unsplash. I feel like Flickr and Unsplash, if they merge, that would actually be pretty good. Although, you know, Unsplash is pretty unpopular because, you know, people say you should be charging for your photography, not giving it away. I still think Unsplash works in the sense where if you take a photo where you, it's not something you would sell, something you care about, why not just post it on there? At the least, you could get your name out there a bit more. But yeah, it's, you know, each individual has their own preference for that sort of stuff. And last but not least, this is a bit more out there. Not really, but I'd like them to do like a more expanded Flickr blog. So currently, as you know, Flickr has their blog, 500px has their official blog where they post, they might feature something, but I'd like to see something much more deep. They could do tutorials, reviews, that sort of stuff. And not just that, but let people submit. So they could do it purely based off people's own submissions, like a daily blog or weekly blog, and have people submit. So you know, as someone obviously that writes articles, tutorials, opinion pieces, why not turn Flickr partially into that? That would is a good way to build a photo community, in my opinion. So if you have that, you know, obviously whether they make it like a blog page, a blog post parts as part of your profile where you can post that and then Flickr can pick it from there, or you can just simply submit posts to the blog. That would be another interesting way, because, you know, imagine that you want to write an article about why you think composition doesn't matter or something, you know, just hypothetically. It's a topic I'm going to be covering, but you know, say you want to cover that, then you can use your own photos in there. So not only are you getting your name out there, you can get more exposure to your photos, and then Flickr could choose to feature it and then use you on their blog. So rather than them have, I guess it's, they'd still need people to write their own Flickr original blog post kind of thing, but not only they'd have more material for the photography community by photographers, the work is pretty much done for them. They just need someone to edit it, go through, edit it, make sure, you know, spelling mistakes, blah, 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 and pick through content and what seems interesting, that sort of stuff. I'd love to shoot, write more articles for Flickr blog. If I can just, you know, write from, well, pretty much like what Petapixel do, they repost a lot of people's stuff. If Flickr could do that, that would be really great to see. I would honestly love to see that. And I honestly think it would build more of a community. Like, you know, kind of like what groups used to do. Groups had discussions, had communities. Why not? You know, you already got a Flickr system. Build these blog posts. Let people comment using their Flickr accounts. Plus, you know, if anyone says, hey, your photos are shit, you don't know how to expose, you can see what their profile is like straight away. You know, if their photos you don't really add up to what they're claiming, the other person isn't good at, then, you know, you wouldn't even bother with it. But there's always going to be people with their own opinions on certain stuff, so it's not going to be able to ever avoid that. But yeah, I would really love to see a user-powered Flickr blog, not so much on the page, but just user content, really build that community, really build that up. That would probably be, if I could choose, obviously two-factor authentication to me is like a must. If I could choose the other three, I would much rather see that Flickr-powered blog. But hey, that's just me. So what do you think of my ideas? Do you think they're good, bad? Love to hear what other people have to think. I'd also love some topics. I'm honestly running out of topics to cover. I do get ideas from time to time, but you know, I hate doing the cliche ones, you know, like top 10 photography myths, you know, you don't need to follow rule of thirds, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't want to do the same stuff everyone does. I want to do something different. So once again, you know, just like the photos, but please, please, please give me some ideas if you do. Stuff that I can cover. Don't be like Alpha A1 versus the Canon R5 or R3, which I haven't touched. You know, gear related, I don't mind doing gear related if I've owned the gear, but if I haven't owned the gear, I won't do it because it's just opinion and my opinion's worthless if I haven't actually used it. Otherwise, that comes brings this to an end. Hope you enjoyed the episode. If you want to find me, you can find me at photosbydoe.com. Otherwise, my Twitter is Mr. Meow Puss, P-U-S-S. Otherwise, when it comes to photography enthusiasts, you can find all other podcasts plus articles, reviews on that at thephotographyenthusiast.com. I hope you've enjoyed listening to this episode. Everything will be in the show notes if you do want it. Otherwise, thank you very much. See ya.